This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 50, beginning with verse 4. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. Jeremiah has been predicting now the judgment of God that is going to come against the nation of Babylon, and how Babylon is going to be destroyed by the invaders from the north, namely the Medes and the Persians. But as he tells of the destruction that is to come against Babylon, he predicts the return of the captives of Israel and Judah at that time. So beginning with verse 4, he is referring to how the destruction of Babylon will lead to the return of the captives. In those days, that is when Babylon is destroyed, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep, God declares. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And so here God speaks about his people who are returning, having to inquire directions on how to get there because they had forgotten their resting place. God's word assures us that there is a place of rest for the people of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is so important in the pressured world in which we live that we discover that resting place. For we all of us need a place where we can just feel at ease and we can rest. There are all kinds of pressures that assault our lives daily. There are social pressures. Getting along with other people. And of course, it begins right in the home. There are many pressures just within our own home as we are living in close association and in close quarters with people who are not always in total harmony with what we think or what we want. And many times we get those pressures from just these close relationships within the home. When my little grandson was just 3 years old, he had spent a few days with us and time had come for him to go home, and he announced, Grandpa, I don't want to go home. I said, but William, you've got to go home. Your parents are calling and they're all concerned about you and they miss you, William. They want you home. Grandpa, I don't want to go home. I want to stay here and live with you. I said, well, William, Grandpa would love to have you stay here and live with him, but your parents would feel terrible. They would cry. They would miss you so much. He said, I don't care, Grandpa. I don't want to go home. I said, William, why don't you want to go home? He said, Grandpa, it's tough living at home. It took him only 3 years to discover that. But that's true, it's tough living at home. There are pressures. And sometimes these pressures have a way of just really compounding on us. But not only are there pressures within the home, so often there are pressures on our jobs. The pressure to perform well, but not always even knowing what is expected of you. The pressures to show a profit. The pressures with others who are trying to climb above you or to climb over you. Then there are pressures in school. Pressures to meet the assignments. Pressures to get a good grade. Pressures to pass the test. Pressures to be accepted by the other students. Oftentimes we are beset with financial problems. How to cope with inflation today? How to pay all the bills? The lack of money can create horrible pressures upon a person. When you know that you don't have the money to pay the bills that are due this week, that can just really put you under ungodly kind of pressure. Then we have emotional pressures. The death of a loved one. The death of a friend. Or pressures that come because we've had a misunderstanding with someone that we love. And right now things are sort of tense. Or perhaps someone is just out to get you and you don't know why. And they're saying mean things about you and they're trying to blacken your name and you really don't know what you've done wrong. And it puts you under this pressure. Of course, there are also those pressures that arise from physical ailments. Weakness, terrible thing. You look at the work, you realize that you're getting behind, you realize that it has to be done, but you just don't have the energy to do it. And every day it seems like the load is getting heavier, the pressure mounts and increases as you feel this weakness and you know that you've got to do something, but you just don't have the strength to do it. And that physical aspect can create such mental pressure upon you. Or perhaps you have a nagging pain, a perpetual kind of a pain, and it's just there, and you're just always aware of it, and you're concerned about it. You don't know what it is, and you really don't want to go for a checkup, but it's there, and it's bothering you, and you just are concerned, and it creates these pressures. Oh, the pressures of life. Now, any one of these pressures are many times enough to do you under. But when you get them compounding as they usually do, when one thing goes wrong in one area, then it seems like things will go wrong in another and another, and they begin to compound until it's coming at you from all directions. And one of the tragic things that in these times of pressure, we so often forget our resting place. Even as it says of the children of Israel, they had forgotten their resting place. And we begin to turn for help. We're driven by the whole circumstances beyond ourselves. I can't cope. I can't do it. I'm at the end, and I've got to seek help. I've got to turn to someone or to something. At that point, critical point of life, because at this point, many people have been destroyed because they turned to the wrong thing for help. At this point, many people have turned to the bottle to try to find help. But rather than finding help, they've only compounded their problems by creating a whole new problem that makes them less capable of coping with life itself. And so they escape. They finally seek to just keep their mind constantly in a fuzzy state so that they're not really facing issues at all, but only seeking to escape them. And rather than solving, they've only compounded the whole problem of life. There are those that turn to the pills, and the same effect, as they just are trying to escape life, but you can't. And you're only increasing your problems by adding another dimension and another pressure. Many times you reach out to friends, but they have their own problems too. They're under pressure also. And they may be able to help you to a limited extent, but there's always a limitation. And if you turn to your friends too often, you'll find that you'll have that weird experience of when you drive up to the house, the lights go off and everything gets strangely silent. And you soon get the hint that they can't cope with your problems. They've got enough of their own. Now, God wants us to reach out to Him. God has promised to help us. He has promised to be a shelter to us in the time of storm. He's promised to be a resting place. In the 91st Psalm that we read this morning, as the psalmist speaks about that person who makes his dwelling place in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, finding God as his refuge, his strength, his help, realizing all of the things that God has promised to do for that person that has set his heart towards God. In the last three verses of the psalm, we find it is in reality God responding to that person. As God said, because he has set his heart upon me, therefore I will. And God tells what he will do for that person who turns to him for help in his hour of need. God said, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will help him, and I will deliver him. And God tells of what he will do for that person who will turn to God in his hour of need. But God said, his people had forgotten their resting place. They had been in captivity for 70 years. They had forgotten how good it was to just rest in God. They had been under the pressures of captivity and bondage for so long that they had just forgotten what it was like to just trust in God and to rest in Him. Remember those days when you first came to the knowledge of the Lord and you cast all your cares on Him? You just rolled over onto Him all of the sin and all of the cares and all of the crud of the past. Remember how good it felt? Remember how much you were in love with Him? how you just couldn't get enough of fellowship and of the Word. And how you walked with the Lord and it felt so good because it seemed like there was not a care in the world. There wasn't anything that you and God couldn't whip, you know, and God is for me and the Lord is walking with me. And just that neat kind of joy and excitement of just fellowshipping with God, walking with Him, living in His presence, filled with His love. Your love for the Lord was so great. It seemed like nothing else really mattered in the whole world. But God said, my people are like lost sheep. It is interesting to me that though God says my people have been lost sheep, that God still claims them as His people. I think that's significant. God says they're lost sheep, but they're still my people. You see, God never releases His claim upon your life. As far as God is concerned, you're still His. As God looks at you, He still says, hey, you're my people. You may be wandering. You may have wandered out on the hillsides, but you're still my people. You may be lost as a lost sheep, but you're still my people. My people have been a lost sheep, God said. Have been lost sheep. It's a very pitiful sight, actually, to see a lost sheep out on the hillside. Little lamb really doesn't have any homing instinct at all. Now, a horse, dog, cat, donkey, they all have homing instincts. When it gets time to eat, they know what direction to go. They have keen homing instincts, but not a sheep. All a sheep has to do to get lost is get out of sight. As soon as it goes over the top of the hill, it's lost. Doesn't know which direction to go. Has no sense of direction or homing instinct at all and doesn't know where to go as soon as it gets over the hill and out of sight. God said, my people are like lost sheep. They have now become a prey to all of the wolves. And there they are, bleating on the hillside, lost. Don't know what direction to go, confused. And yet God says, they're my people. My people have been a lost sheep. But now they're heading back. They're coming back to the resting place. We read as they are coming back to their resting place that God says of the children of Israel and Judah that they are going and weeping as they go. As they were returning, there was that awareness again of God's guiding and God's drawing. I don't know, there's just something beautiful about turning back again towards God. It does work in your emotions. You've been under a lot of pressure and you've been trying to hold the stiff upper lip and you've been trying to fight the battle. And you realize that you're not making it. You realize you're going under and you'd like to cry, but you don't dare. Because you've got to be strong. You got to hang in there or you're going to go under and you know it. But there's something of such a relief as soon as I turn back to God. I know it's going to be all right. I know everything's okay now. because I'm going to give it back to God. I'm going to turn my life back to Him. And there's just something that touches my emotions. And as I think, all right. You just start to weep many times as you just determine, hey, I'm going to turn back to God and turn it back over to Him. And so going and weeping, they're coming back to the Lord. They're coming back to the resting place. They've set their face now, as God said, in the right direction. For they shall seek the Lord their God. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. God said to Jeremiah, and ye shall find me in the day that you seek me with all of your heart. Oh, I'm going to seek God. And then God said, for they have set their face toward Zion. They're going in the right direction now. It's moving in the right way. Setting my face back towards God, towards the place of rest. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I have no scientific explanation for it at all. But I don't care how far you've strayed. It may be that you've strayed, it seems, a million miles from God. You've turned and you've gone in your own path, and you've been going in your own path until there you are, faced with the pressures, not able to cope anymore. And you think, oh, I'm so far, you've gotten so far, you've almost forgotten what it was like to be in close fellowship with God. To have that joy and that excitement in your life. But I don't care how far you've strayed. It may be that you've strayed a million miles from God. The minute you turn your face back towards Him, you always find that though you've strayed so far from Him, it's only one step back. You may have been going for a long time and just strayed for so long, but it's only one little step back to God. The minute you turn your face towards Him, He is standing right there waiting with outstretched arms saying, come unto me. Come, my child. I love you. I've always loved you. You've always been my child. I've never released my claim upon you. Come into Daddy's arms. I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And suddenly the pressure is gone. And once again the joy is restored and the love and the fellowship. And there's just that neat, beautiful time of reconciliation with God as you come back into the resting place. Safe in God's arms. Shall we pray? Father, speak to us through thy word this morning concerning the issues of our lives. And God, you see each of us and you know the pressures that we're under. You know the load that we're trying to carry, and unfortunately, many times trying to carry it without your help. And it's getting us down. And we feel weak. We're conscious of our own inadequacies. And God, we turn to you for help. We set our face towards you today. And we thank you, Father. It's such a short step back. Into your arms of love. Into the warmth of your presence, into the security of your hold. Thank you, Father, that though we may have let you go, you never let us go. And now, Lord, restore the lost sheep back into the fold, back into the flock, where we once again may know the rest of following the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For many of you this morning, the turning of your face toward God may be well represented by your going back to the prayer room. It's that commitment, God, I'm going to give my life back to you. God, I'm going to turn over the issues of life into your hands again. God, I'm going to start resting once more. I'm tired, Lord. I can't carry the pressures any longer. And as you again just come back to God and fellowship with him, God is just waiting to do his work within your life. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room this morning. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. It's in the far corner, the door that goes behind the wall there. God loves you. He's willing to help you. When everybody else has failed, he's still there. So faithful. Going and weeping, seeking the Lord, turning their face towards God, they came back to their resting place. You'll never find a place to rest apart from him. Never. God be with you and bless you through the week. May you enjoy that sweet presence of Christ in your life as you commit your way unto him, as he takes you by the hand and leads you, as he strengthens you, as he ministers to you of his love and of his grace. May God bless you and make it a very beautiful week, walking in fellowship with the Lord, in Jesus' name.